Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. We've been joking around with Seth, who is a moderator, so I guess we were live there.
Yes, I'm sure we were.
All right, but this is the Metaphysical Hour with Dolores Cannon. And I do want to say that this is makes 5 years now that I have been with BBS.
Was this your anniversary?
Yeah.
When did you start exactly?
October. Let me see. It was, well, it just another week.
Okay. So it's not quite yet. So don't celebrate too soon.
But anyway, it's been 5 years I've been with BBS.
Yeah.
And boy, it has really gone fast.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Seth doesn't even remember that I'm maybe one of the oldest ones with the BBS broadcasting.
Yeah.
I think he said he's only got one other one that's been there longer than I have. But I don't know where this last year went to, but it just evaporated just like smoke and blown away.
Yep.
Okay, let me give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in tonight. We don't have any guests tonight. It's just going to be me and Julia talking. So if anyone wants to call up and chime in, they're welcome to do it. And I was thinking, you know, Julia's really good at talking to people if they have problems or if they got health issues. She seems to get messages from the other side.
Oh, going to put me on the spot, huh?
Well, it's happened.
Yeah.
People have called in, and you say you'll get things that'll just come to you.
If I get something, I'm happy to pass it on. So
if anybody has any questions they want to ask her, see, mine has to be done with the hypnosis. Hers, they just whisper in her ear.
Yep.
They give her the information.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone wants to call in and has any questions, I can answer them, or maybe she can. She's been doing real good with the health issues, too.
Thank you.
Seems to pop in.
Yep.
She's here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me give out the toll-free number first. It's 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. If anybody wants to call in. And I've told everyone that this show does go all over the world, and we keep finding that out when we go to other countries. They've told us that they have listened to it there.
Mm-hmm.
But we just got an email this week, and it was from Portugal. And the person said, I've been listening to the show. I don't think they've been listening very long, but they said, I keep hearing another voice in there. There's another person there when you're doing the show. Who is that? So I thought everyone knew. This other person that's here, she's in the room right now with me, is Julia.
It's me.
And she's my daughter, but she also runs the publishing company, and she travels with me all over the world on all of these trips. Darn it, I twist her arm and make her go.
I know. We're attached at the hip. I have to go everywhere.
So. On all of these trips. But she's my daughter. And it was a few years ago, I guess the first 3 years or more, I was just talking by myself. And I felt like I was sitting here talking to the wall. When I had guests, it made it easier because I had someone else to talk to. Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself, and everybody else says...
But you do that just fine, so...
Well, everybody else said, no, you're not. We're listening. And that's what Seth said, the one who runs the show. He said, you're good at just talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that for so long, and then when we began coming back from these trips, I had Julia sitting in and talking about the trips. And it's worked so well that we said, why don't we just both do it?
Yeah.
So it gives me somebody to bounce it off of her and off of, and she has a lot of valuable input, too.
Okay.
So it helps me a lot. After 5 years, I need something besides staring at the wall when I'm sitting here talking.
Yeah, she gets to stare at me.
Well, we get hundreds of people, you know, emailing wanting to be on the show, and I do have guests.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of the guests, though, are those that the books we have published.
Right.
And people that I know in
right.
the business.
Mm-hmm.
But we do read the submissions when people email and say they want to be on the show. So, you know, if we're interested, we will contact them
anyway.
Yeah,
in time, once you get through all the people you know and authors, then we'll start looking at other people. So we're keeping all of these.
Yeah, we keep them on file anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know a lot of people in this business. That's
yes,
the
do.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a lot of authors and more authors coming up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if anyone wants to call in and ask Julia some questions, she's here and available.
Well, I'll put in a little plug for the Healing Path Expo, too. I just came in from that. I was running
That's
the table there.
That's this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's today through Sunday. If anybody's in the Ozark area, you know, the Ozarks in Arkansas here, it's the Healing Path Expo, and you'll be speaking on Sunday. You're a keynote speaker, 4 to 6 on Sunday.
And this is in Eureka Springs,
mm-hmm.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
This is one, at least I don't have to get on a plane.
Yeah.
This or a bus or anything. This one is just down the road from
mm-hmm.
us. We're in Huntsville. This is Eureka Springs, which is really like an artist community. And they have a whole lot of really interesting things up there and ghost tours and all
of
that.
Oh, yeah. If anybody wants to, you know, I mean, it's a gorgeous area and it's a vortex and it's just, you know, it's beautiful scenery and the lake running through there. So it's just gorgeous. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a nice change of pace if you're anywhere in the area. There were people there from Kansas City and Oklahoma and,
okay.
you know, so.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. Huntsville, you know, we're just here in the.
Yeah, this is our backyard.
Yeah, this is where we live, and there's not anything here. It's just a little bitty town. But Eureka mm-hmm. Springs is 25 miles away. So this is good to have a conference where we don't have to go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be speaking there on this Sunday, and mm-hmm. it's in Eureka Springs. And you just came from there.
Just drove in from there, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's 3 days. So they're mm-hmm. going to have some tomorrow and then on Sunday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then next week, we're going to be in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I've done before. And I've had Joanne Macko, I've had her on my show as a guest. She puts on the Lightworkers Conference mm-hmm. every year in Chicago. And I'll be doing that next weekend. I think I speak on Saturday there.
I believe so, yes.
That's
Saturday morning. Mm-hmm.
Outside of Chicago at Naperville.
Mm-hmm.
But so this means this is the last show tonight until Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't realize. I thought we were going to have one more, but we're just going to be on the road after this for the whole month of October, November. This is going to be the biggie.
Yep, that's what we do.
After we get through with Chicago, then we're going to take a big jump over the pond.
Oh, I don't think that's called the pond on that side.
It's the pond going to England, probably.
Yeah, the pond is the one going to England. I don't know what you call it. The channel, maybe?
Going over the Pacific.
Yeah.
But I'll be speaking in Singapore, and that's Sunday. It's the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. It's on the 24th.
Yeah, it's on
mm-hmm.
a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in Singapore, and I'll be doing a lecture there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be going on down into Australia, and we're doing a whole lot of lectures in Australia and two classes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The first one's going to be in Perth, and I've done many classes in Perth, and we always have a large class, and we have a good reception there
mm-hmm.
that they're all learning the
right,
technique.
The technique. Uh-huh.
So we'll be going from Singapore to Perth, and then we're going to take a couple of days just for a little holiday because I've always wanted to see Ayers Rock. And we've never had a chance. Every time we go over there every year, we just hop from Perth to Sydney, and we never get to stop in the middle. Of course, there's nothing in the middle of Australia.
Yeah, you said Ayers Rock is a vortex, too, right?
It's the largest monolith in the
okay.
world, and it's the Aborigine sacred spot.
Okay. Well, I just think it's interesting that in this last few months, how many vortexes we've been in and around and everything, and then we live right by one, too, but actually we probably are in one. I think we're close enough to Eureka to say we're in a vortex. But
well, it's like the Sedona was mm-hmm. the Indian sacred spot there, and
yeah.
that's the way it is with Ayers Rock. And so I've always wanted to see it, and I've written about these places, so I thought this would be an interesting way to do it. Of course, it's not easy to get to. We found that out.
Yeah. But if it were, it wouldn't stay sacred. You know,
that's true.
It would mess with it.
Most of these
spots are a little hard to get to, you know,
yeah.
so really.
We were going to take a train, but found out that was going to take 5 days.
Yeah.
Australia is as big as the United States, and I didn't think it would be that hard to get to. So we had one little plane that's got one flight a day, so at least we're going to get to see Ayers Rock. So when I come back, we'll be telling you all about these things. But then from Ayers Rock, we go on and start the lecture tour.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's Adelaide, and then to
Melbourne,
mm-hmm. and then to Gold Coast,
right,
and then to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sydney, we'll be doing another class. And we've done them there before, and we have a good response there.
Right.
Now, anybody who's interested in the class in Perth or Sydney, you look on our website, and it'll tell you who to contact
right.
over there.
Right. We have the link, so where to go and who to contact.
Yeah, we have people on the ground over there who are arranging everything and taking the registrations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's easier to do that than to go through us.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's interested, there's still room, and these are usually big classes, and the one in Perth and the one in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that one, we jump over to New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be doing a class in Wellington. And I think it's been a couple of years since I did a class
mm-hmm.
there.
It has. It's been a couple of years. That's why we really needed to do one again. Mm-hmm.
And I think all of these places I'll be doing lectures.
Yes.
And even in Sydney.
Yes.
And then we'll do a lecture in Wellington and the class there.
Right. You'll be doing a lecture with Blair in Wellington. You and Blair will do a talk together.
If he's okay.
Oh, he's going to do it. It doesn't matter if he's on crutches. He's going to do it. So.
Well, after we do Wellington, then we'll head home.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, don't you know that Thanksgiving is the hardest time to get a flight anywhere because everybody's flying? But it took a lot of work, but I finally managed to get us back here. I think it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, I thought we actually got back on Thanksgiving.
I think it's Wednesday. So anyway, we'll be
okay.
back here,
mm-hmm.
so the next show won't be until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to tell what happened to Blair.
You
know, we've had Blair on the show, and Blair is the one that I did the Awakening Tour with all over the United States in July. He is the wonderful channel for Tabash.
Right.
And he's an old friend, and he lives in Wellington,
mm-hmm.
so every time we go there, we do joint lectures.
Right.
And he introduced me to New Zealand there, and then I brought him to the States to introduce
him
here.
Well, he was coming to the States. You introduced him here.
Yeah, but we did the round-the-country tour. We were trying to get his name out there.
Absolutely.
But he had a very strange thing happen to him, and everybody knows Blair. This is... I don't know. He shouldn't have volunteered because he's in trance all the time, and it's so easy for him to go into trance.
Well, it's probably because others were afraid to do it, and he, you know, he's not afraid of that state, so that's probably more of what it was.
Okay, let Julia tell you what happened with a stage hypnotist in Wellington.
Now, we do not endorse stage hypnotists.
I know.
So.
I have clients coming to me that think I'm going to do what a stage hypnotist does. They say, you mean you're going to make me quack like a duck?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. Because the stage hypnotists have given people like us a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
And people think it's going to be, we're going to make a fool out of them or
right.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how the stage hypnotists work, but that's not therapy. They would have put on a show.
It's entertainment, exactly. And it's entertainment at someone's expense.
It's
a sad thing. But
it's like they don't care if they make a fool out of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let Julia tell you what happened to our dear Blair.
Our dear Blair, bless his heart. He and his wife were at this fundraiser, I believe. It was a function of some kind, and there was a stage hypnotist there. And I guess everyone decided, I don't know if there may have been others as well, but they definitely decided Blair needed to be one of them that goes up there. If he was the only one, I don't know that part of the story. But anyway, he needs to be up there on the stage doing that. And so he goes and, I mean, like I said, he's in trance most of the time anyway. And so, I mean, yeah, he was really easy.
He's got bad
eyes
and he's there. You know, there's no challenge to the hypnotist whatsoever.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he's up there and they probably had him doing a lot of things. But one of the things that they did was they said, okay, the KGB is after you. And, you know, and so he's scared and he, you know, apparently they're chasing him and everything. And he's running.
Running all over the stage.
Yeah, running all over the stage. And then he's falls off the stage, and I guess that kind of jolted him out, but he said, oh, I guess I sprained my ankle, and so anyway, went back up on stage, and guy puts him back under, and then he proceeds on, and some of the other stuff he has him doing is he's got him dancing, and he's just doing all these wild moves and everything. And so I guess that, you know, then it goes on, that's the end of it and stuff, and then they're done with everything, and on his way home, he's like, my ankle is really, it's hurting, you know, and stuff. And so they go to the hospital and find out he broke his ankle and wrangled these tendons in there because he danced on a broken ankle, and it really messed with the tendons. So long story short is he had to have surgery and to have two pins put in the ankle and to you know, so that it can stabilize it to heal, and then he'll have another surgery later to have the pins taken back out. But it's like, but somebody asked him, didn't it hurt? And he said, no, I never felt anything until I got to the car later. I said, now that's the power of hypnosis. That's the only part in there that looks like hypnosis, you know, but the rest of it is just, yeah, that's just not responsible. So, I mean, I'm not, I don't mean to be speaking bad about anybody in Blair. This is not anything on you either, so.
But it was totally irresponsible of the hypnotist. That's why I don't like them making fun of people trying to put on a show and entertain, but to deliberately harm someone.
Well, he wasn't deliberately harming, but I don't know that he was aware that he could be harming, you know, as a thing.
And then after he was hurt, to continue on and not even want to stop
that,
the show.
That's where the mistake was, I feel. So.
Yeah.
But.
Well, we emailed and said, I think you should send your doctor bill, the hospital bill, to the hypnotist. And he said, well, don't work in New Zealand. Their medical care is all free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they don't have a bill.
They don't have any bill.
Yeah.
But I still think he should make the man aware of what he did, that it's totally irresponsible.
Right.
So anyway, right now, Blair is recuperating in a cast.
Yeah, but he's doing reading. He's already doing
he's
reading.
He's still doing it?
Yeah,
he hasn't stopped.
Well, no, he said the stairs are a little challenging, but see, he's so healthy, you know, he's so fit. I knew this way he wasn't going to stay down for long.
Yeah. So. He sent us an email, though, and he looked very pitiful right out of the hospital.
Yeah, that was right out.
So anyway, he's laid up, well, partially right now. So maybe by the time we get to Wellington, toward the end of November, he'll be a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to be doing lecture together there before I do my class. But... I don't know, the continuing adventures of Blair
right.
Styra, anyway. Okay. So, let me see. We had a few things we were going to talk about tonight because we don't have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody wants to call in, they're free to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of the things, when I got to London, you know, we just got back from London, it's been about a month ago now.
Right.
Or was it? It was
it's been
a few weeks.
It's been about 3 weeks.
When we got back from London and the south of France.
Mm-hmm.
And before I left, they were telling me they wanted to do radio shows and they wanted to do a TV, interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing they sent us was everybody over there was all excited about this stuff with Churchill. And had just been released to the media. And they're all excited about it. And I said, well, to us, it's kind of like old hat. But they think it's exciting because it's the first time that the government has released things.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can remember what it was. It had to do with Churchill and UFOs. And that during the time that Churchill was the prime minister, that they were deliberately covering up the facts of UFOs. I think he said they were worried about a panic.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same thing our government said. That was their excuse for covering up a lot of information about UFOs, worried about creating a panic with the people. So they said that was what was happening with Churchill. He didn't want anyone to know about this, but they did have records, they had proof, and they had files. But it seems like now the government itself is leaking this. And it's going on record that there was a cover-up concerning Churchill and the UFOs. And, of course, when I did the shows, they wanted to know what I thought of it. And I said, well, I know it's real. I know it's happened because we know the same cover-up's been going on here in America for many years.
Right.
That they haven't released it. But I guess over there, they're not informed about it like that. So it was kind of like a really big cover story to find out about it. But since that happened, other people have been telling us they think France is releasing its UFO files. China did a year or more ago, opened its UFO files, and I think in the papers there's some other countries that are beginning to open up. This would mean England also, so USA may be next.
Oh, I think, well, I saw something that this one army general or something was
they're beginning to open
stuff.
It up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got a caller.
Hello.
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 Yeah,
hello.
You got a question?
Yes. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to your shows for some time and finally got the nerve up to call.
Okay.
And,
well,
thank you for calling.
And that I have all of your books, and I've read them all, some of them more than twice.
Okay.
And I enjoy your work very much. So I just want to thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm working on more books.
Oh, good.
I'm going
to read them.
I'm taking some time off from seeing clients this winter so that I can get them in shape to be printed.
Well, I've been thinking about trying to find a way to get down there to see you, but I haven't made it yet.
When it's time,
I live up here in the woods of Montana.
Oh, okay, way up there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, way up there.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we'll be out of the country till Thanksgiving, and
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. It's but if people are insistent and persistent, they can get a session.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right. Well, I just want you to know I've learned so much from reading your books. I find the whole subject very fascinating.
Oh,
wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate that because, like I said, we never know if anyone's listening or not.
Oh, yes. I'm listening a lot of the time, and
all right.
I'm really enjoying
thank
your
you.
Show. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's
all
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
We do get a lot of fan mail. People say they're listening, but we never know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that's interesting that they are beginning to release the information with England.
Mm-hmm.
And now they said the U.S., I think it's been in the papers that there are some big people up in Washington and in the military that are beginning to release files.
Right. It's like, it's okay. I don't know why, what's happening. It's okay. So,
yeah, but now it's finally it's all right to open it up.
Right.
And it's a shame Wendell Stevens didn't live to see all of this happening.
Maybe he's helping from the other side.
It could be. Okay, we have another caller. Hello.
Hello, Dolores and Julia. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm very happy to talk to you again. I have two questions that seem to be unrelated, but it's relating to the way you do your hypnotism with your clients. You've often said they, when they have someone under, that they are working on them while you're taking them down under, and that they work on these people and they have this instant healing. Now, is that...
Yeah.
I'm confused because I don't know if... The difference between that and a kind of like a karmic kind of thing going on, if you're supposed to go through this problem in your life, it's your karmic thing. But if you have, for instance, I have eye problems. So I'm not sure.
We all have karma and we all have karma and we have karmic things. But doesn't it help if we can find out what they are instead of just wandering around in the dark and not knowing?
Well, and I think your question is okay if it you say it heals, but if it's a karmic thing, when you get to that part in the session and you get to that part, they will tell you. If it's karmic and it's something you have to work out, they will tell you that. And it's something you have to, but it explains why it's going on and if it's something that cannot be healed or whatever because it's karmic issue or something.
A contract,
whatever. It will tell you at that point, but then you have the understanding. Oh, okay, that's what this is about. But if it's over, if the contract's done, the karma's done, because sometimes we just keep on because it's a habit. And we don't realize we don't have to. The message has been delivered and stuff, and you don't have to keep doing that anymore. Then it can take it away. It can heal it. So that's where, you know, but it, that higher part knows the whole picture, and it can tell you which way.
There's many times they'll say the contract's over. They don't need to worry about it anymore. It's time to move on.
Right.
Okay, but you said you had a specific question about your eyes.
Yes, I do. I have been treated several times with eye operations, and really this eye problem came along, and the doctors asked me about how I, you know, got to this situation with a macular hole in my eye, and I had no idea. It just, one day I couldn't see. So I was just wondering, you know, and there's evidence that my eye is, you know, very damaged and so forth. So I do all of this treatments and eye drops and so forth. And but I got to thinking about it the other day. Is it karmic or is this something else, you know, that they could fix in doing hypnotism?
Because, you know, anything that happens to the body is talking to you. It's trying to give you a message. Because you should never have any physical problems whatsoever. So if anything is happening, the body's trying to tell you, okay, what was going on in your life at the time when this happened? A lot of people don't make the connection.
I don't. It's been almost 6 years now, and I have not been able to figure it out. I've thought about different things that might have been it and so forth, but there was no huge stress in my life or anything like that. But one of my metaphysical friends said that it's possible that it's something that in my life that I don't want to look at, I don't want to address.
Yeah, definitely. That's what the eyes represent. What don't you want to see?
Now, was it one eye or both eyes?
One eye.
Which eye?
The right eye.
The right eye, okay.
Okay. Because that's what I found in my work. The right side of the body represents something in this lifetime.
And now. Mm-hmm.
And the left side of the body represents things that come from childhood or from past lives. So whatever it was had something to do with something in this life.
Or at that time. Well, it's really now that you don't want to look at. You don't. And see, the fact that it's a hole, see, that's something, that's a message, that's a major message. It's a hole. And
it sounds like it just appeared, so that's definitely. See, they will give you messages very subtle for a long time. There will just be little things that you'll shrug off and you'll say, well, you know, you're not listening to your instincts or your intuitions. Mm-hmm. And then after a little bit, it gets a little more, trying to get your attention. And then if you don't get the message, they will hit you up the side of the head, and they will make it very dramatic, so you will get the message.
Right, and that's what this was. This was a hitting you upside the head. So you were probably getting messages before that, and you weren't paying attention. And, you have to think about it.
Now that they've hit me upside the head, but I still don't get the message.
Now they've got your attention.
Yes, he said they get your attention one way or the other. We don't want it to get to that point, but sometimes that's what has to happen. I have people coming into my office missing arms and legs because
what
they...
What do I do now?
Well, she's saying, what do I do now? So it's like, but it's a matter of finding exactly what it's trying to tell you. So it's a matter of this is where the sessions are great because they get right to the source of it. You know, that your higher self will tell you. It just comes right out. Otherwise, you can find out yourself. I mean, everybody can do this. It's just that
meditation.
It's your meditation or getting into that quiet place where you talk to your higher self, you connect to your higher self, and you ask the questions. You know, what are you trying to tell me? What is it you want me to know? That's your biggest thing. What do you want me to know? Because it's just trying to tell you. So you can talk to your eye. What are you trying to tell me? Whatever comes in, don't make it complicated. The first thing that comes in, that's it. Let it start building. It might be one word. It might be a visual. It might be something. But build on that. Accept it. Allow it to come in. And then just keep asking and keep going with it. That's exactly what happens in a session. Mm-hmm. Well, really?
Yeah, really it is. So. You don't just say, well, that's a silly answer and don't accept
no,
it. Because,
exactly.
It doesn't make sense to our conscious mind. But I think you need to go back and think about 6 years ago when this first occurred and start remembering what was happening in your life. Was it your marriage? Was it your children? Was it your job? What was going on that you really didn't want to look at?
It's something that, a punch, because see, a hole was punched into her, that part of her eye.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a punch.
So
something punched, and
it was really trying to get her attention.
Majorly. And but, just, you know, and it doesn't have to be any major, big, earth-shattering, but it was something that you need to look at. It's like she's saying, like that friend of yours, that's exactly right. There's something you don't want to see. And so you've made yourself blind to it even.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
That's interesting.
Oh.
I will definitely pursue that and try to figure this all out. But,
yeah, because you do.
May I ask another question?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know on another level. You know the answer, and it's within you.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead with the next question.
Okay. For years, must be 10, 12 years, I have been interested in UFOs and so forth, and I find myself, here I am, 70 years old, still interested, still checking, reading all your books and reading other material and stuff. I'm wondering, what is it with me and this interest in UFOs? I've never actually seen one or anything like that.
It's home.
Any ideas?
that's where you're. It's home. It's where you're from.
Oh, I see.
It's really that simple. And it's just, you know, it's probably a home calling. So, you know. E.T. phone home kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, but
maybe that's
definitely.
What? I didn't hear that. What was that?
I said that's very interesting. You know, maybe I should just call home, you know?
it's really that simple. It's just, you know, you're
see, that's what it is. It's too simple.
That's all I was saying.
Right.
It's really that simple.
Well, but on all my work with them, and I've been doing it over 25 years with the UFOs and ETs, I've never found any negativity. It's always been positive. And once we understand, you know, where it's all coming from, many of us have had lives in other planets and other dimensions, and that's where it's going back to, because, believe me, they're a lot less complicated than being on Earth. So a lot of people kind of have that longing of I want to go back to that life. It was simpler. It was easier. And that's where
I'm getting memories of who it was. Apparently it was someone that I knew, and they had something different about their skin. I'm trying to remember what that was. It's so weird.
Well,
yeah. But you know, many of my sessions, they don't go back to past lives. They'll go back to lives when they're on UFOs, spacecraft, or they're on other planets, other dimensions. And they really like it. It's a beautiful way to live. And they only came to Earth because they wanted to help Earth. So it may be that's what you're identifying with, a life when things were happier. Maybe that's what you don't want to see, the stuff that's going on in Earth right now.
Yeah, it's possible.
That might be it.
It might be.
That's all very.
But that's where you're probing. You know, it will tell you more. And if it feels right, then that's it. And you're going to know. Like I said, just allow it to come and accept it. Trust what you get. That's the thing, is people don't want to trust it, and they don't want to believe that what they're hearing, that they're even hearing anything. But just trust it. Whatever you hear, whatever you get, is it.
Yeah.
And allow it. And as you do that, see, that strengthens your connection, and you'll start getting more stuff. So there, you had your first lesson. That's 101 and how to create your connection or build a better connection.
Okay.
<so. laughs>
Well, thank you
that
so
was
much
lesson
for
one.
Talking to
you. Well, see, the doctors don't go there when they're thinking. They don't think about It could be coming from somewhere else. All they're doing is looking at the physical machine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is okay. That's where they're coming from. But if you start asking questions in another way, you'd be surprised what you're going to come up with.
And then once you have those answers, once you get that information, then you can move from there to the next stage. And, you know, if it's something that, you know, based on what it is that you get, then that will let you know about healing it and on letting it, you know, to resume and everything. So it's based on what you get. Because like you say, if it's a karmic thing and it's something that came from another time and it's a karmic, although it doesn't feel like it is, but if it is, then it may be something that has to stay. But you'll know that as you get this information. You'll mm-hmm. know what to do with it. So,
yeah, we had a friend that was very obvious. He developed cancer on his nose. And we said, Julie, pick it up. His answer is right there staring him in the face. How much more
exactly,
obvious,
you know,
can it
yeah,
be?
Yeah, it's like they're getting in his face. I mean,
yeah.
that's how literal this part is. It's just, it's very literal, and it's like, look, I'm trying to tell you, you know, and it's like his, it's like that saying, it's as plain as the nose on your face. Well, that's how they do things, you know. So
yeah, now it's gone to his ear, and it's telling, what aren't you hearing? Aren't you listening to it?
Exactly. So mm-hmm.
you don't want to wait till he gets to that point. Okay, have we answered your question?
Okay, I guess she's gone. Okay.
Okay, we got another caller, I guess. All right, somebody else there? Hello.
Sam. Hi.
Is that your name again? Hi. Yes, now I can.
Okay, well, this is Pam in Texas.
Hi, Pam.
And I'm going to see you someday, but not sure when. Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask you, I've been trying to work on listening to my higher self and my intuition, and I think I knew how to do it when I was little, and then when I got in school, something made me kind of want to protect it, and so I think I covered it up so other
yeah.
people couldn't hurt it, and then, you know, I was going to uncover it later, but now I don't know how exactly.
yeah.
That's what I do with stuff that I think, oh, somebody might hurt this, because I think that when I expressed my intuition or my higher self thoughts, I got... you know, the kind of reactions that you wouldn't want to get. So I thought, okay, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to cover it up where it's safe. And now I don't know where the zipper is. You know, I can't get through it now. I know what I did and I know why, but how do you get that off of there so I can talk to you again?
Right.
Yeah, but I get so many people that tell me they knew they could do such wonderful things when they were children. And
right.
Boom, so they knew they could fly. They knew
but,
they...
Oh, boy, you start school and they tell you what you can't do.
Well, and that's a lot of it. The other thing, you said you were protecting it, but you were also trying to blend in.
Yeah.
And so that, in that way, you cover it up so that you don't look different. And
yeah, because it's very hard with kids. You know, kids are cruel to each other, and anybody who's a little
bit
different.
Well, it was more my family than the kids. I didn't really care what kids
exactly.
at school.
A lot of times
it was my
is.
Family, and I didn't want them acting that way about what I thought was, you know, I didn't know the word that young, but sacred thing.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I thought,
it's very present.
Okay, if you're going to be
yeah,
that way,
is.
I'll uh-huh. just fix it where you can't do it. And then that
yeah.
fixed it where I couldn't do it. So how do I undo it?
Well, it's not really done.
Not done? I have clients
well,
that come and say that.
Well, here,
this thing.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. All right. But I have clients that said they remember when they were children, they could fly, they could levitate things. Mm-hmm. They had all these
oh,
powers.
Yeah.
But then because of the parents and everybody around them, they had to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them want it back mm-hmm. because now they think they could have it back because they can control it.
Mm-hmm.
And they
well,
say...
I just want to hear it, really.
Yeah.
Well, they say you can have it
mm-hmm.
back
mm-hmm.
now that you know how to handle it, now that you're older.
Right.
Well,
how do you
would be meditation?
Yeah, it's just
I
a matter
meditate
of...
A lot.
Okay, well, but... Okay, what I'm hearing is they are talking to you. You're just not listening. You're expecting it. You're expecting it to sound a certain way. You're expecting it to look a certain way. So you need to surrender to your expectations. Don't, you know, just...
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just allow.
I think I can remember what it felt like back then, but then maybe not. Maybe it would be different now since I'm not little.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would be different. And so you, it's kind of start from the beginning and just, like we were saying, well, just ask, just to have yourself open. Just say, you know, just ask. And one, know that it's there. It never left you. Like you said, you just kind of protected it. So it's never left you.
Yeah.
It's always been there.
It's kind of buried it.
Right. And then, so you know it's there. So it's like, okay. You know, ask it to come, you know, to surface and allow you to work with it again. Now, whatever comes, whatever you hear, whatever you see, you start, you accept it, you acknowledge it.
Okay.
And it might be just tiny, tiny little thing. You the first thing is acknowledging, and when you do that, that starts strengthening that again. That's a muscle. It's all a muscle that you've got to work with.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
But
and
the
I
first thing
used
is
it
acknowledging.
In 50 years or something.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
So, you know, a muscle that's not used is going to atrophy. So you're working that muscle again. So it's a muscle that doesn't have much life in it, and you've got to build it up gradually. And but the nice thing about it is they build up pretty quick. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
But it's not going to come back like bam, well, I got all these abilities overnight.
Right.
It has to, like you said, be done gradually, or you wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right. You know, but what's beautiful about it?
Well,
exactly. What's beautiful, though, it comes back in a subtle enough way so it feels so natural, and you know it's all yours, and you know exactly what to do with it and everything. But it's enough to where you also know it's what it is, you know. So
it's not so minuscule that you would think that you wouldn't. It's big enough, or you can see it enough or hear it enough that it's definitely not your head talking to you, or you know.
Right. Well, see, right there, you're saying your head talking to you. See there. So see, you're already hearing stuff, but you have it classified as you. That's your first thing, is accept it that it's not you, that it's your higher self.
And trust it.
Well,
trust
to me, it's going to be negative stuff, and I know the other one wouldn't be.
Exactly.
If I'm going to hear something negative,
you already know what you sound like. Yeah.
Yeah, I sound like, uh-huh. But the other one wouldn't be negative, though.
How about you stop sounding like that, then?
Well, I'm working on that, too. But I haven't quite got it fleshed out yet.
Because,
occasionally,
if there's a bunch of that.
You know, what I'd like to do is just replace that other thing with the varied thing, and then we wouldn't have to hear those.
Exactly.
Negative.
Yeah, because, see, that's what it's got to wade through. It's trying to wade through all of that right now.
Right.
Because
and what
you've got to clear the way. Because, see, that's muck. That's muck and mire.
I always pretend like I'm sort of sweeping with a broom, like if it was leaves, you know, like on how they come off and get all over your porch. And then, I sweep them off, and then, of course, some more come, and I sweep them off. And then I'm kind of just doing that imaginary thing about the negative thing.
But actually, it's not as light as leaves. In your case, when you do that negative
stuff. Well, they're not light leaves. They're more like banana tree leaves. They're horrible.
It's more like
feathery.
Yeah.
It's more like dog poop, really. Yeah. That's more of what I'm sensing,
But one thing now is the time for all these things to come back, all these abilities to come back, and that's important.
Right, and we've got But you're a perfect example. In order for them to come back and to come through, we've got to wipe this other junk out. You know, you've got to recognize
it. I was trying to say it in a nice way, but really it's more like horse poop. Big old huge pieces of it. Or elephant dung or something, you know. Maybe I'll have to get a forklift for it.
how about just blast some light on it and melt and it disappears and it never comes back?
Oh, that's much easier.
Isn't it?
That's the hardest way.
Yeah.
The hardest way to do something, yeah.
Wouldn't you, though?
Oh, yeah, of course I would.
Okay.
See, when I was little, I didn't.
When I was little,
I found the easiest way to do it. And then when I buried my little intuition nut thing, I turned the other direction. If you don't do it the hard way, then you don't do it. That's kind of what we were taught. Like, it has to be hard,
yeah,
or it's not worth doing, or that kind of thing.
Right.
But if a little light can do it, I'll just do that.
The light can always do it. And the new you knows a different way now, doesn't it? So.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably just
okay,
knowing
well,
that
you
one
go
would
ahead
be
and
in
try
a lot
it,
of areas.
Then.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to try it.
Will you go
Okay.
You go ahead and try it then. Okay.
So the manure heaven is going to get loaded up.
There you go. There
All
you
right.
go. Thanks for
Thank
calling,
you
Pam.
Guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And I think there was another beep. I think there's another caller on the line. Is somebody else there?
Yeah,
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hello, and your name?
Mandy.
Say that again.
Mandy.
Pandy?
M-A-N-D-Y, Mandy.
Mandy. Okay, all right. Okay, Mandy, what's your question?
All my life it seems like I've had things to do in front of me. And I was told when I was 3 years old that I was going to sail from England where I was to America, and I was never going to come back. And I forgot about it, and then I did it later. And then I joined the spiritual commune when I was here. And I was there for 16 years. And then I got into alternative medicine, studying that while I was in the commune, because we worked in different businesses, like herb businesses and health food stores and farms and ranches. And after 16 years, I left, and then I had a baby, which I was unable to do when I was younger, and I had him after I left the commune, and then I supported him and took care of him. Now, he's grown up, and I'm still working in the healthcare field, not in the alternative healthcare field, and I've just got to the point where there's nothing in front of me to do that I want to do. And it seems like all my life there's been something in front of me that I have done because it presented itself. And I just followed that path that was laid out in front of me. So now I'm at a standstill and a crossroads wondering which way to go because I'm almost 63.
Uh-huh. And, because when you come in, you know, you make a plan of what it is you want to try to do.
Unless you're one of the waves and you're just here to be, and that's what I'm getting really loud is, really,
yeah,
this is your time to be, and you can do whatever you want. It's whatever, but there's not really necessarily a thing that you have. You've done those things that you came here to do, and now it's your energy. Now, I'm sensing some fear from you also, so that may be something to work on, but it could be your fear of apprehension, maybe because you're trying to figure out, you know, it's like I'm not on the right road or something. But,
yeah.
But all I got majorly is you're here to be.
Yeah, because
and,
the second wave, you know, we found the three waves of volunteers who've come to help the earth. The second wave, a lot of them come to see me and they want to know what are they supposed to do, and it comes out all they're supposed to do is just be, that their energy affects so many people and they don't even realize it. Just by walking through a store or a mall, are being around people, your energy affects all those people in a positive way. And the people say, well, yeah, but I want to do something. But that is doing something on another level they're not aware of.
Right, right.
And you think mm-hmm. she might be one of those people.
Well, she
maybe.
Said she's 63. You said you're 63, right?
I will be in November.
Okay.
When I was 14, I wanted to leave the planet, and I almost did.
See, she really falls into the first wave. She wanted to leave the planet and everything.
Yeah.
Your energy is of a first wave, But I think all the ways. I mean, it's just really that's, I think in general, that's what with the ascending and with all of our movement and everything, it's really to be. We that's really, I mean, somebody had to remind me that we are human beings, not human doings. You know, we are beings. We are here to be. And that's
because
the biggest
part. Because even the first
part.
Wave, they don't want to be here, but their energy does affect people.
Absolutely. Well, they're all here. They're all here for that purpose, to be affecting with their energy. So
yeah, to help people that way, mm-hmm. not physically, but just by the energy of the person.
Mm-hmm. But on the other end, you're saying, okay, there's usually something ahead of you. What you can make it be anything. So if there's anything that you've ever wanted to do, so this is your time that you can do that. Any passion, any, you know, you can do anything. There's not anything that you must do because you are here. You're already doing it by being, and I hope that makes sense. but,
and the whole world
yeah.
is out there because mm-hmm. you can create your reality any way you want. You think about it. What is your dream? What is a goal that you mm-hmm. never did and
right.
maybe was hidden back there, but
mm-hmm.
this would be good to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, I'm hearing that you had one back before you had your son. And then you let him be your world, and so you kind of push it to the side. So you had, you might go back to that point and kind of see what it was that really made you sing, made you, you know, your heart sing. Because that's really where you know, it's like, it doesn't really have to be a mission thing. It's just what makes you sing, what makes you happy.
What's your passion?
Yeah, and it's okay now to do that. You're beyond all the parts where you have to get certain things done. You're beyond all that. You've made it through. Now, go find your passion. Go do what makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're at. And that's fantastic. You know,
because
your mission's done as far as that. Now your mission is to be. So, and you can be while you're doing your passion.
Yeah,
so,
and they always
mm-hmm.
say, bring joy into your
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Find the joy. So that's what I'm saying. What makes your heart sing? What brings you bliss? All those things. That's where you're at. And so,
when you're younger,
you know,
you've got too many other
mm-hmm,
things. They call
mm-hmm.
kitty karma. You've got
right.
your marriage. You've got your kids.
Right.
You've got all that stuff
mm-hmm.
to work through.
Well, I'm seeing you being in the healthcare profession and alternative health, all that, you're a caregiver. You've been putting everybody ahead of you. And this is going to be hard. That's why it's going to be take some digging maybe to remember what it was. But that's where that came from, is you put everybody ahead of you. Well, now it's you. This is about you. And by you doing this with yourself, you help everybody around you because they can see how they can do this with themselves and make themselves better for the planet and the world. And see, this all of this helps the energies of the planet.
Oh yeah.
So
you've got some self exploration to do, thinking about, you
mm-hmm,
know
mm-hmm.
or again, meditation is always good too to
mm-hmm.
to quiet your mind and just think mm-hmm. and it'll pop into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you'll see an article or something
or
on the internet or
on the radio
a book.
Or anything. Yeah, your book jumps out at you, anything. Those are your messages. You
yep.
know, like I said, we've had other guests on the show talking about how messages come. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's whatever way it gets through to you, and just start paying attention to it, and then it becomes more and more obvious. But I'm being told you know the answer, so
mm-hmm.
I yeah.
Well, as we tell everybody, all the answers are within us
always.
Anyway.
But I think she knows it now, so.
Okay. Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour again, and boy, the hour flies by.
Well, thanks for calling in, Mandy.
Okay, thank you. Okay. It's amazing how fast the hour goes.
Mm-hmm.
And before we started, we was trying to figure out, what are we going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
It's always that way. And we still don't get to the ones I had
yeah.
notes about.
Well, this is wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. That's wonderful. That's fun. That's lots
it
of fun.
It is. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we like that. But sometimes
mm-hmm.
when we have a guest, we
mm-hmm.
can't take the time. But
right.
I would like that if people
mm-hmm.
would call in whenever mm-hmm. we don't have a guest.
Yeah, we're happy to help.
Yeah,
I hope it helps what we do. So.
As much as we think we can. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
we
mm-hmm.
never know, but at least we can just give you our advice and what we think. Maybe it'll help somebody out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing.
Well, if I can, I know we've got to go, but one little piece is, everybody, trust what you hear. Trust what you get. We all have this ability. It's just a matter of trusting it. You know, you will hear it, you will see it, you will get something. Trust it. And that begins it. Like we said with the other person, acknowledge it. When you acknowledge it, that allows it to come in a little bit more, because it means you recognize it and you're giving it attention, so that will allow more to come in. And as you keep doing it, that's how you work that muscle, is by acknowledging it and then thanking it. And then, you know, and then the next time something comes in, acknowledge it and thank it and trust it.
And before you know it, you'll be a very natural part of you again.
Absolutely, and you won't question it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just know that you know that you know, and you don't know how you know.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to go now, though, but I do appreciate everyone listening tonight. And we are going to be out of the country till Thanksgiving. Anybody wants any more information about the lectures, about the classes and all of that, you can go to our website, which was Ozark Mountain Publishing, and it's abbreviated on the website, OZARKMT.com, or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com, and you'll find out about how to sign up for the classes in Australia.
And New Zealand.
And after we get back, we're going to be setting our schedule for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're starting to set it now, but it's not in concrete yet. So.
We're going to have many other classes in the United States, and we are going to go to many other countries in Europe, so and Hawaii. There's
on the road again.
After the holidays. So we have a lot more things we'll be arranging. So if anybody wants information, go to the website and check it out. Or if you can't do that, then call our office number. It's 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. Okay, so thank you everyone for listening tonight, and we'll be back after Thanksgiving, and they'll be playing shows from the archives while we're gone. All right, good night everyone.